was in that surrounding that Jesus Christ chose to identify as the Savior of not just some men, but all men. Aren't you glad that he did not come simply to redeem those who are of lofty aristocratic states? But he came that all might be saved.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the middle of the Indian Ocean, there is a small island, really a speck of a rock out in the middle of the ocean, known as Christmas Island. Surrounding this island are crashing waves, and yet there is a place of solitude in the middle of the Indian Ocean known as Christmas Island. Out in the middle of the Pacific, there is also an island known as Christmas Island. Again, surrounded by the treacherous waters of the Pacific, there is a small place with a few sandy beaches, and a place of rest and solitude for all who would land there. And I truly believe that Christmas should be an island, a place where we can stop, pull aside from the busyness, pull aside from the cares and the hurts of this world, and just for a moment contemplate the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that that's what this week will be in your life. When we look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we see that God can bring peace whenever and wherever He so desires, and that God will bring peace to all who look to Him. We see that in the middle of a difficult time, really, in human history, the Roman government was ungodly, taxes were on the rise, poverty was abundant, and yet in such a climate, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, and given for each and every one of us. God brings good news, and God brings glad tidings to the world. And isn't it interesting, as we saw last week, that the Lord Jesus was presented in a manger there in the stable of Bethlehem. Not the way we would have presented the King of Kings, not the way we would have presented the Son of God to the world, but God in His plan brought forth His Son in this way. And then we see this morning the proclamation of His Son. He proclaims the coming of His Son to shepherds, common working men, men like each and every one of us with their job to do and with the cares of this world upon their shoulders, and yet God chose common men to bring an uncommon message of salvation to them. This morning we consider this proclamation, and I want you to notice as we look at Luke chapter 2, and I want you to come with me to this place, and the first thing we'll notice in the passage is that we have an opportunity to hear the heavenly announcement that is made. The Bible tells us about this in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The first thing we notice about this announcement is that it comes from a special messenger. The messenger is referred to as the angel of the Lord, a majestic angel. This angel of the Lord was not a mere angel, but a special, visible appearance of God to man. Some theologians believe this is a Christophany, that is, Christ who is omnipresent, making this announcement to the shepherds. We know that this was the angel that came to Joshua in Jericho. And in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." The angel of the Lord, a very special messenger from heaven. We know that this was the angel that appeared to Joseph, telling him to take Mary as his wife. In Matthew 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So Gabriel came to Mary But the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and came to the shepherds with this special, special message. The Bible says the angel of the Lord came upon them. The picture in our minds is that of the angelic beings overshadowing and hovering above these shepherds as they worked in their field. A majestic angel brought this message, but also we see the multitude of angels that joined the angel of the Lord. In verse 13, the Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," these angels were ministering spirits. These were God's servants. And here in Luke chapter 2, we see a plurality of these angels. And I believe we have here a picture of what will be seen in heaven. In the book of the Revelation, we see the Lord Jesus surrounded by the angelic beings who worship him. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." What a wonderful thought that the Lord Jesus is surrounded by the angelic host, praising God and proclaiming the entrance of the Son of God. This announcement is made by a special messenger. But notice, secondly, with a special message. What is the message of the angels this Christmas morning? Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, "And the angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, hear the message this morning. It is, first of all, a message of assurance. And you see the word there, fear not. Let's say those two words together, shall we? Fear not. Undoubtedly, those shepherds were taken aback. I mean, this was before the day of video equipment. This was before the day of television and satellite and all of these things. And no doubt, they were shocked by the sight of the angel of the Lord and the host of angels. And so we see the assurance that's given to them in this message. And the assurance is given in the form of these two words, fear not. Stop being afraid. You know, it's amazing to me that in the Christmas story, those words are mentioned three times. Fear not. God wants us to have assurance in our heart. Even as we consider this morning the Christmas story and the fear of these shepherds, we recognize that today our world is filled with fear. People fear the economy and they fear the positioning of powers in Russia, Iran, North Korea, and other places. Some have fears for their health and others in other arenas. And yet the message of Christmas is fear not. Why would that be the prevalent message? Because Emmanuel, God, is with us. And so there's an assurance that is given by the angelic beings. It's a message of assurance. It is secondly a message of acceptance. For the Bible says in verse number 10, that I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Here we see that this good news the angels proclaim is for all people. This is a message simply stating that God, in His love, accepts all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And oh, how we thank God for the fact that on every corner of this planet, there are people who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and who will celebrate at this Christmas season their faith in Him. Isaiah 45 and verse 22 says it this way, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." I like the word saved, don't you? I find that people who are saved understand the meaning of the word and rejoice in salvation. And God says, I'm bringing this salvation message to all people. Everyone is welcome to come. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. I think of Lancaster Baptist Church and our missions program, and I think of 170 missionaries supported by this church and how they minister this morning around the world, in Africa, in Asia, and in all different parts of Europe and South America and Central America. They stand and they proclaim this same message. And the message is, it doesn't matter where you were born and it doesn't matter what language you speak. This good news concerning the Son of God is for all people who will believe on Him. It was a message of assurance and a message of acceptance, and thirdly, a message of anticipation. And I want you to see that in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, no doubt there was peace in that first Christmas morning in the hearts of Mary, Joseph, in the hearts of these shepherds. No doubt there was peace in the hearts of those first century Christians who put their faith in Jesus Christ, and in all Christians since that time, people who have trusted Christ, people who know their sins are forgiven and that heaven is their eternal home, there is a peace in knowing God. But some will say, where is the peace that Christ offered, and where is this goodwill that He promised? And I would remind you this morning that the promise concerning the peace that Jesus brings was not limited merely to Christmas morning. But the fact is that Jesus Christ is coming again as the Prince of Peace, as the King of Kings, and as the Lord of Lords. In John 14, as the disciples were so concerned that Jesus would be crucified and so worried that He would leave them, He said to His disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions," He says. And He said to them these words. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you," He said, "I will come again, that you may be with Me also." You see, Jesus Christ promises peace to those who believe Him now. But peace will come on this earth as He establishes His kingdom. Luke chapter 2 says it this way in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" But then notice there in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," notice this phrase, "the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end." These promises anticipate the peace that He will bring one day to the earth at the time of His second coming. And I want you to understand that for every Old Testament prophecy about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are 8 prophecies about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the King, the Prince, who will bring peace to the earth. And He will fulfill His promise accordingly. I read recently about a woman who had been out doing a lot of last-minute Christmas shopping, and she had 49 Christmas cards to send out, and so she bought a packet of 50, and she'd already addressed the envelopes, and so she came home and very hurriedly signed these cards, stuffed them in the envelopes, threw them into the mailbox, and on Christmas Day, she finally had some time to reflect and look at some of her projects and think about some of the things she'd been doing, and she sat down, and on the table there was the one card that she hadn't mailed. And as she looked at that one card and thought about all the people to whom she'd sent it, she began reading it. She'd, in fact, never really read the card in its entirety. And the card said, and I quote, "This card is just to say a little gift is on the way." Suddenly she realized 49 of her friends were expecting a gift to come to them in the mail. Now, whether or not she could deliver, I don't know. But I know this: when God makes a promise, He can deliver that promise. And He promised peace on earth. And it is a fact that those who know Him have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is a fact that He will bring peace to this world for all of eternity. And so we hear the heavenly announcement the angels made: peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But now, beyond hearing what the angels said, let's take a moment and see the heavenly arrival. Notice, if you would, in verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Notice, if you will, the place of his arrival. We visited that place briefly last week in the early portion of the book of Luke, Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, in the region known as Ephratah. It was a place given to terraced hillsides and given over towards the trade of farming primarily. Bethlehem was the burial place of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, the original home of Naomi and the setting for much of the book of Ruth. Perhaps the most important figure associated with Bethlehem is David himself, for it was in Bethlehem that Samuel anointed David with oil and there announced him as the king over all of Israel. Here was the place known as the House of Bread, prophesied by the prophets of old to be the birthplace of the Messiah. And the shepherds say in verse 15, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us." They came to discover what God had revealed to them through the angels. And so they came to Bethlehem, and there they entered into that stable room because there was no room for Jesus in the inn. And we see a parallel to that in our society today. So many who have no room for Jesus Christ. Even at this Christmas season, they refrain from saying simple things like "Merry Christmas," lest they give credence to his name or the purpose of this holiday. No room in the inn. And Jesus was there in the stable. And so the shepherds came to find him. And then Jesus, the Bible tells us in verse 16, was lying in a manger. And I hope you have that picture in your mind. If you've ever spent any time around a farm, you know that stables aren't the best of places. They're obviously very earthen and very stinky and moldy. And yet it was in that surrounding that Jesus Christ chose to identify as the Savior of not just some men, but all men. Aren't you glad that he did not come simply to redeem those who are of lofty aristocratic states? But he came that all might be saved. To a stinky, smelly stable, Jesus Christ was born. Reminds me of the mother who was talking to a friend recently, and she said, "Last Christmas I got my son a hamster for Christmas." And she said, "Oh, how that room smelled." But she said, "After a while, the hamster got used to it, so it worked out pretty good." And if you have teenage boys, you understand that. Something like the smell of the animals must be considered when we think about where Jesus lay that first Christmas morning. The place of his arrival was very, very common and very, very basic. But notice something in this passage. Notice the person who arrived. There was nothing common at all about him. Notice in verse 16 again what the Bible says. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now notice, as you see these shepherds, let them teach us this morning how to obey the Word of God. Not when we have time, not when we feel like it, not if someone proves it to us in some kind of a logistical way that's pleasing to us, but when God spoke, they made haste. Like Philip in Acts chapter 8, who was told to go to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Bible says he ran to the chariot. These shepherds made haste to do what God had told them to do. And they came to see this person known, first of all, as the Son of God. Romans 1 and verse 3 says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Folks, we cannot emphasize enough in this ecumenical era where people want the Christians to hold hands with every other faith and act as though every other road leads to heaven and every other God is just as good, when it seems as though people are continuously tolerant towards all religions save the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot emphasize enough our faith in this simple truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and that he lived a perfectly sinless life and died on Calvary's tree for our sins as the Son of God. Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Do you understand today there are many religious celebrations that leave out the truth that Jesus Christ is God with us? Why that message may be offensive to some, and it is always offensive, it has always been offensive, but it is the truth and it is the fact that Emmanuel, God with us, is what we celebrate this week. Oh, how we thank God for the truth. And may we understand this is what Christmas is about. God coming to be near us. God coming to be with us. And that is why to a Christian, it is more than simply a holiday. It is a holy day. The fact that God would come down and that He would be with us. He is the Son of God. But He is more than that. He came to be the Savior of the world. This babe in verse 16 that is shown to us lying in a manger, yes, He was the Son of God, for He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But He also came to be the Savior of the world. Look at your notes in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah is our Savior. And folks, let me just be very clear this morning. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet needs a Savior. If our greatest need would have been education, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need would have been financial, God would have sent an economist. But our greatest need was the forgiveness of sin. And so God sent a Savior. God knew what we needed, and He sent His Son to be our Savior. And we need a Savior because we all fall short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why we sing, hallelujah, what a Savior Jesus Christ is to all who believe. I heard about a little boy who was getting all caught up in the trappings of Christmas and wasn't really grounded in all of the meaning of Christmas. And so he decided that he was going to write Santa and kind of work the system a little bit. And he wrote Santa a letter. He said, dear Santa, there are three little boys that live at our house. There is Jeffrey, he is 2. There is David, he is 4. There is Norman, he is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. Norman is good all of the time, and I am Norman. Now, folks, when we rationalize, we can put ourselves in that good all of the time category. But then when we open up the Word of God, we're reminded we fall short. And because of that, we need a Savior. And this heavenly arrival is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life to all who believe. And so we must hear that heavenly announcement. And then we see the heavenly arrival. But then I want you finally with me this morning to share in the heavenly amazement. I want you, if you would, to take a moment and just put yourself in the place of these shepherds and imagine the amazement they must have felt. And I want you to realize that while they were overwhelmed as common working men to observe these angelic beings, while it was an amazing thing to them, still, God was calling them out. God was calling them unto Himself and calling them for a purpose. And I want you to remember this week, God has a purpose for your life. And He did not bring you to this Antelope Valley so that you could work a job. And He does not have us in this state of California just to make a living. He has you here to live out His purpose for your life. And God is calling you, and He called these men as well. Notice as they were standing there amazed, first of all, He calls to these worried men. He calls out to them in verse 10. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Notice those words, fear not. Very interesting words when you study the Greek language. It says in this verse, they were sore afraid in verse 9. Verse number 9 says, and they were sore afraid. The words there, megaphobia. They were really scared. I mean, these guys were just not sure with what to do. And yet, to worried men, God called them out. He calls out these megaphobia, these men who were just scared to death with what they had seen. And he says to them, "Fear not." And some of you might say, "Just the thought of witnessing scares me. I'm afraid of giving a tract out to someone. What would they think about me? Telling my relatives at Christmas is a fearful thing to me." And yet God would say to those of you filled with megaphobia, God would say, "Fear not." He calls out to worried and weak people like us and says, "I can use you if you'll let me. In your weakness, I can be strong if you'll let me." And so he calls to worried men. Secondly, I find comfort in the fact that he calls out to these working men. These shepherds were sometimes frowned upon by the Jews because they did not keep all of the ceremonial laws of cleanliness, and they were just common working men. I am sure they smelled like sheep. I'm sure they had calloused hands. They were tough working men. Yet God chooses them to proclaim to the world that His Son had been born. And I want you to take comfort in that as I do. That not many wise men are chosen. That God will use any humble servant who is willing. And I am amazed that God will use common men who are surrendered to Him. And He will use us for His honor and glory. Oh, what a thrill to sense that and to see it. But then notice, it is a call made to willing men. These men were willing to do what God wanted them to do. And the Bible says in verse number 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. These men quickly went out and did what God told them to do. You know, I meet so many people who someday they're going to do something for God. I've had people say, "Pastor, when I win the lottery, I'm going to give to the Lord big then." No, you won't. If we're not faithful with the little we have, why would we think we'll be faithful with more? Sometimes we say, "Someday I'm going to witness to so-and-so," or "Someday I'm going to help with such-and-such." And I just want you to see from the shepherds, they were given a basic job to do, and that was to go and see the babe and to do what God had told them to do, and they went with haste. And my friend, God is not going to overwhelm you with responsibility. He'll give you grace for it. But when you hear His still small voice in this new year, whether He's calling you out for salvation or baptism or church membership or serving as an usher or a nursery worker or a bus driver or helping the needy or the widows or the elderly in the nursing home or whatever it is that God puts on your heart, then I challenge you from the life of the shepherds, do it with haste and do it for the glory of God. He'll call you, but will you be willing? These men were willing to do what God had called them to do. And then notice finally, this is a call that was made to witnessing men. Verse 17 tells us, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Isn't that great? Now let's read that together. Ready, begin. Verse 17, ready, begin. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Oh, listen, as soon as they saw, and as soon as it sunk into their consciousness that this was all of God, this was the Son of God, when they realized what they had been privy to, they couldn't help but go out and tell others what they had seen. And I am a firm believer that someone who is truly saved and recognizes that their sin debt has been paid and that heaven is their eternal home, they just can't help but tell somebody else that they've been saved. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to them. I don't know what would be great for you this Christmas. Maybe something great would be like a new car, maybe Lakers tickets, maybe some special bonus from work. I don't know what would be great for you, but I'm going to tell you something. Nothing is as great as knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when those shepherds got a hold of it, they just had to go out and tell everybody. Psalm 66, 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." Telling others about the Savior is a solemn obligation and a great privilege that you and I may partake in. Whatever you do, don't forget the Lord Jesus this week. Don't forget to worship Him and thank Him, and don't forget to tell others about Him. I heard about a family that was getting ready to travel for the holidays, and they were really planning, and they were good planners. I mean, they got every gift for grandma, grandpa, aunts, and uncles. They washed the car and checked the oil and got gas in the car. And they bought all the things the kids would need for the trip. They had their neighbors to check on the house. They put a stop on the mail. They were ready to be gone for several days. The day finally came. They got up early. They got the two children into the car. They got everything ready. They pulled out of the driveway. They got halfway down the street when the wife said, "Honey, we left the baby in the nursery." They had almost left their little baby completely at home as they went to see their relatives out of state. Now, let me just encourage you with something. You're going to get busy this week. You're going to be running to and fro and wrapping this and that and planning so many things. But let me just encourage you this morning. Don't forget the baby. Don't forget the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And if you have been saved, He is your Savior this morning. If we forget Him, then we might as well forget it all. You see, this morning we hear a heavenly announcement proclaimed by the angels, and we see the heavenly arrival, the Son of God, and we have been able to share in the amazement of these shepherds. But I wonder today as I close, have you ever personally received Christ as your Savior? You see, He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I who fall short of God because of our sin need a Savior, but have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're here today and you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, then I urge you this morning, don't put it off, don't push it away, but receive Christ. For the Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, "But as many as receive Him, to them gives He the power to become the sons of God." And if you accept Christ as your Savior, you are accepting the greatest gift ever given to mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, God wanted to come near that first Christmas morning, and He still does. He still wants fellowship with you, but you must open the door. You must let Him come in, and you must say, "Lord, I know that I fall short. I'm a sinner, but I receive You as my Savior today."
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.